B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's Boston's most listened to afternoon radio program. Vulgar and Mass.
You need a little bit of fat in there for flavor.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
They are going for it. You got to give Lamar Jackson a chance to get on the move and give him options here.
Mike Davis is in. Ravens go for it on fourth and goal. Jackson fading. Jackson throws. Intercepted. The Bills have it. Jordan Poyer with the pick. Baltimore decides not to kick the field goal, and Buffalo takes over with just over 4 minutes to play.
You're putting them out there. You're putting your defense at a disadvantage because they've got four downs to convert all the way down the field and a chance to again score seven, and then you lose the game on a touchdown. So... And then the worst thing, the other thing, you think you're going to get the ball at the 2 yard line. So I'm very confident in our defense. Defense's ability to stop them down there with the ball on the 2 yard line. So we got them backed up. If we don't get it, didn't turn out that way, unfortunately, and we lost the game. So hindsight, you could take the points. But if you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it.
So I heard that on Sunday. Live, I think, on one of the post-game shows. On Sunday afternoon, I went, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He consulted the spreadsheet, or he had a nerd in his ear giving him the percentages. Oh, and that's how they're making decisions now. And I know this has been happening now for a while in football, but, boy, I rarely hear a guy so blatantly say that's what the analytics show. Like, even these freaking baseball managers try and hide it a little bit, even though it's obvious their calls are coming from the analytics nerds upstairs, and how they manage everything is analytic driven. They try and, you know, hide that a little bit. But John Harbaugh, you know, old school, you know, hard-o football guy, said, nope, from an analytics standpoint, I see why we did it. Almost as if he didn't make the call. You know what I mean? Like, play the second half of that comment again, Jimmy, if you could. He almost like the pronouns changed. Where did he say, I understand why we did it?
And then the worst thing, the other thing, you think you're going to get the ball at the 2 yard line. So I'm very confident in our defense. Defense's ability to stop them down there with the ball on the 2 yard line. So we got them backed up. If we don't get it, didn't turn out that way, unfortunately, and we lost the game. So hindsight, you could take the points. But if you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it.
When you look at it analytically, I see why we did it. We? You mean that's not your call? Like he's
no, it's a good point.
He's almost giving it away that came from the nerd upstairs.
Correct.
Who looked at it. And again, if you're just joining, you didn't know the situation quickly. It's a tie game, Buffalo-Baltimore. Baltimore's got fourth and two at the 2 yard line. There are just over 4 minutes left. Fourth and two at the two, tie game. Just over 4 minutes left. Instead of kicking the field goal, they went for the touchdown. And Lamar Jackson threw an interception. And when I think of it, the analytic, the numbers are probably right. I can see why the analytics would say that you go for it there. Because, again, here's the situation. If you miss there and you don't score, and providing you don't throw an interception, like that's sort of the key thing.
Correct.
If you don't score and Buffalo starts at the 2 yard line and it's a tie game, Buffalo isn't going for it on fourth down the field. It's a three down drive. So starting at their two in a tie game and they'll be punting on fourth down. Does that give you a better chance to win versus up three? They're starting at their 25, probably, because you're going to kick it off into the end zone, right?
With Tucker.
And they're going to go for it on every fourth down. So I bet if you put those two scenarios side by side, okay? Tie game, they're starting at their 2, they have to punt on fourth down, or up 3, they're starting at their 25, and they go for it on fourth down, I can see why they chose the first scenario, right? Does everybody follow that?
I understand your logic, but then they should have run the ball.
Yeah, I followed, but I still hate it.
100% they should have run the ball. 100% they should have run the ball if they're going to do that stupid thing. Because throwing it introduces an interception, touchback, now they start on their 20. A key piece of that whole analytics had to be starting at the 2. So you run the ball there. That's number one. But number two, F the numbers. F the analytics. Fourth and 2 in a tie game against a good opponent in a back-and-forth, blood-and-guts game, that's a tough conversion. To score from the 2 there, I don't know. You know, I'm sure the nerds just throw all 2-yard plays into one bucket, spit out the number, and say that converts 54% of the time or whatever. But a tough game, good opponent, blood-and-guts game, 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, your balls are on the table, the pressure's on. That's a tough conversion, 4th and 2. More often than not, I'm going to have my money on the defense there. And so, it's just, isn't it disgusting that that's what the game has become?
Yes, totally, 100%. And again, when he laid it out the way he did, I thought, well, so this is what it is now. It doesn't even take into account who the players involved are.
Nope.
Like, you just look at it and go, well, we're giving them 4 down. Now, they have a good offense, okay? So that obviously factors in on some level. If they had a bad offense, maybe it wouldn't. But even so, like, you look at it and say, well, wait a minute. The odds say if you give Buffalo 4 downs all the way down the field that their chances of scoring are 72%.
Especially if they start from the 25.
Right. Okay. What about, though, in the final 4 minutes with the game on the line?
Right.
How do you measure the pressure? Because how do you measure that?
The nerds don't realize that humans play the game because the nerd never played. So the nerd just looks at the number and the percentages. Where if the nerd actually played, he would know when you're out there and the bullets are flying and the game's on the line, it's a whole different animal. It's about all sorts of things other than just the data. But the nerd doesn't know that because the nerd never played.
Correct.
And that's what sports have become. And boy, it's what football's become.
I know it is. It's unbelievable. It really is. The whole point of playing the game is that you put it in the hands of the people and you trust your people in your situations. Because again, if you just go by the math, like, well, you know, well, the odds are that Buffalo will get 4 downs on every series and score 72.6% of the time. Well, if that's the case, well, then why are we even playing the effing game?
Go by the basic numbers. I mentioned it when we talked about this for a minute in the 10 questions. Prior to this game, in one-score games, the last 7 one-score games for the Bills, they were 0-7. You've mentioned this before, Mike.
Yeah, they can't win close games.
They can't win close games. So take the 3, trust your defense, and odds are, that team's going to end up puking themselves or turn. There's going to be a turnover or an interception by Allen.
God.
They overthink it. And I'll tell you, in a situation like that, when I watch these games now, like, you know, games that aren't involving the Patriots or Brady and the Bucks, just like neutral games I don't care about. If I see a team go for it on fourth down like that, I always root against it. I was so happy that happened to them. F them.
So I've been waiting all week to get to this because when I saw that, give me John Harbaugh again in the postgame Wednesday. I heard this, if not live, then shortly after he said it. And I said, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He turned that decision over to his analysts because he said, I understand why we went for, oh my God.
Yeah, made it collaborative.
Go ahead, Jimmy.
If you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it.
Oh my God. The nerds made the call. Oh, that's unbelievable. And I know Harbaugh and that Ravens team has turned it over to the analytics previous to this. He goes for it on fourth down a lot. He goes for 2-pointers.
He does.
Cost himself 2 games last year going for 2 at the end of the game.
Right.
Correct. He's become like the guy in the Chargers.
Rams. Yes. Daily.
Yes. So I know like they're at the forefront, you know, if you will. I think they're at the back, you know. But of all the people, wouldn't you think the Harbaughs?
You know, so they traditional football
project
fans.
Football guys.
Yeah, right.
You know, this Brandon Staley, nerd.
Right.
Like, I expect it from him, the twerp. The Harbaughs, they played their football family, their football guys. They've been at this for generations. Like, you guys, you're going to throw at me the analysts? and the percentages of going for it on fourth down versus what, and have them having a going for it on fourth down all the way down the field. The numbers show this, and that you're doing this. Oh my God, I can't. Yeah, it's gross.
Harbaugh's bought in. He's bought in. He's bought in hook, line, and sinker on this thing.
All right, I just wanted to scratch that itch. Back to your phones on everything after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
He doesn't ask much of the audience.
Okay, but play with me.
Except to love him.
The worst sign in New England sports is you.
Mass, the quiet half of Felger and Mass. On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
John Harbaugh.
Right.
Decision to go for it on fourth and goal from the two. It's not just go or no go. It's what play do we have that we like? How do we feel about executing that play?
Right.
Can we trust our quarterback not to throw an interception in the end zone? Right. Because it's not as simple as saying, well, if we fail, they have it on their 2-yard line.
Yeah.
No, they don't. They have it on their 20.
How good are There's they so in many red zone factors. Situations? Right.
And what's our vibe today? Like, where do we think their weaknesses are? Where do we think our weaknesses are? How do the plays that we thought going into the game would work in these situations, how do we think now that we're actually 58 minutes into the game, they actually will work? Those are all things you have to trust at the discretion of the coach, and they are not conducive to a mathematical formula. That's where the rubber meets the road on analytics. It is still football. It is still a human-driven game.
Right.
And there are so many factors that can never be quantified. And I don't want to hear this, well, we account for that in the model. Bullshit! You can't have a model that accounts for everything. And if you did, whoever came up with that model wouldn't be on TV, wouldn't be in a team. They'd be in Vegas beating the odds every single game and keeping their mouths shut about it.
Florio agrees with us. Some interesting commentary on this. You know, he just wrote a book, some sort of like inside the NFL kind of stuff and how the league runs and called playmakers. I haven't read it, but you know he talks and references it quite a bit, and you know, some good inside stuff there, it feels like. And one of the things he focused on in the book is the analytic trend and how they've taken over NFL front offices, and sort of it starts at the ownership level. And I just saw an interesting comment on that. Jimmy, could you play Florio number two for me, where he goes into the thing about the owners and the analysts?
And it de-emphasizes the power of the coach and the influence of the coach. And look, here's what happens. It's like any other industry. The industry changes at the top. You now have owners who are very savvy about analytics. They've got their analytics expert right there at the right hand. And whoever takes that coaching job knows going in, this is just the way it is. You know, it's like a rule change. This is just the rules of how the organizational dynamics work have changed. And I've got to accept that. And I no longer have the autonomy that maybe coaches once had. I now have to adjust and adapt to this person who's going to be talking in my headset, telling me these percentages, and expecting that I listen to them because the owner's paying them high six figures to be the one to have all these answers because they think they can somehow turn this into the same thing as the balance sheet that these owners have mastered over the years to earn billions. I really do think that's why it's taken a foothold, Chris. I've never thought about it that way. But you have all these people, except the ones who inherit their teams, who are successful business people. And they think they can somehow take the magic that they've captured elsewhere to earn billions and translate it into success on a football field. And this is a way to quantify things that are inherently unquantifiable, but they're trying to do it. And I think it's making it harder for coaches to do the jobs the way that they're supposed to be doing the jobs.
Oh, I agree.
If that makes any sense at all.
No, well, yeah, they're being micromanaged. I mean, they're basically being, as I know from a lot of people, being called into a room on a Monday and having to explain themselves for every decision they've made. And of course, when you have to do that, and you realize that, hey, like to your point, the owner seems to be leaning on the GM and the analytics crew. As a coach, you start to just go, well, crap. I guess I'll just buy in and join the team. So
when in Rome,
I don't get fired.
When in Rome.
And so, like, that's scary stuff there, that these owners are attaching themselves to analysts. and the analyst is on headset during the game and is in close contact with the owner, and on Monday when you come in, you got to explain your decisions, and the analyst is there, and the owner can understand the analyst because they speak in numbers and percentages and this, and that's what's taking over the game.
He's got it. No, he's got it. He nailed it. That's exactly what it is.
That's obnoxious.
Because any owner would make a decision based on odds. That's what they would do. They would look at it and say, what's the margin? How, you know, what is this percentage? The likelihood that we'll be able to sell X here or whatever. And I'm giving it, what is it?
You know, it's like 82%.
It's
a soybean analyst that we're familiar with.
Right. And again, we know that well here because of the Red Sox.
Soybean analyst.
Right. Exactly. It's a bit 100%.
How has this worked out for these teams, though? Let alone baseball and the Red Sox and how they've been up and down these, you know, last 10 years or whatever since they really focused on this. But in football, Cleveland hires Paul DePodesta, the former baseball nerd. How's that worked out for them?
I just punched him up, Murray. It's funny you said that.
Yeah. Because I remember when that happened a few years ago. I'm like, why are they hiring a guy like this? Well, here come the nerds into football. How's it worked out for the Chargers the last couple of years? They've missed the playoffs. Same with the Ravens. I know they've been injury riddled, but these teams that seem to be really leaning on it, it hasn't paid off.
Mike, the DePodesta thing with the Browns, and I cite this as, tell me another guy that has ever moved from one professional sport to another as a chief decision maker with regard to personnel.
I can't think of it.
It doesn't exist. I mean, think of that. What makes you an expert in football because you ran a baseball team?
Expert in numbers.
And spreadsheets.
But Harbaugh gave it away, man. He gave it away with the tail end of that comment. Again, one more time, Stu. What did he say? Why'd you go for
it? If you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it.
Why we did it. I thought it was your call. Why wouldn't it be, I understand why, you know, you wouldn't even say, he said, that's why I did it. Instead, he says, when you look at it analytically, I understand why we did it. He's got someone in his ear. And the guy in his ear has the owner's ear. And that who's making these calls. Ooh, that's scary, isn't that?
Terrifying.
All right, thoughts. Tim in Marblehead. Go ahead, Tim.
Hey, guys, I'm on your side. I hate the analytics. Send them into the sun. But Harbaugh was right. If you look at it the way we do, the way I look at it like you guys do, because I've seen that Ravens team give up far too many big plays with their pass defense. I've seen Josh Allen go slam it down someone's throat late far too many times. This is not the war. This is not the battle we pick as anti-analytics people, because this situation was a bit different. I think that Harbaugh, the mistake he made was mentioning the word analytics.
Okay, no, it's not a mistake when that's why he did it. Don't you understand? If he made that decision for the reasons you said, then that's different. I felt something. I didn't like the way we were matching up with Josh Allen.
Yeah, we liked the matchup better with our offense on the field than our defense.
He had it going in the second half. We were sort of on our heels. This was a way to turn the momentum. Like, if he described the reason he did it on the way you just did, Tim, I'd be with him. Instead, he said, when you look at it from an analytic standpoint, I understand why we did it. As if there's a team there coming together and running the numbers and deciding on what to do.
Because there is.
He gave it away. He didn't do it for the reasons you said.
No, and again, Florio nailed it. The owner wants the answer, and the owner knows that the analyst has given him the numbers and said it's 76% there to go for it.
Right.
Okay, fine. So then Harbaugh doesn't get in trouble, and he keeps his job. How long has he been a coach of the Ravens now?
Forever.
I mean, he's got no risk of losing it.
Brendan in South Boston. Go ahead, Brendan.
I have an ice cream headache from all the analytics. I'm in like that middle age range where I'm old school, but I also believe in some of the analytics. Even if they kick a field goal there, Bills are going to come down the field. They may or may not score, but most likely on fourth down across the 50, they'll kick a field goal to tie or miss it. Last thing, I'm a special education teacher. We use research-based strategies. If something says with an 80% clip, this will work on the student, but I know that student, and it's definitely not going to work with them because of A, trauma, B,
hey, Brendan,
I know the kid.
Brendan, thank you for thanks for the call and the example, but it's apples and oranges. Football is an oblong ball. There's too many variants in sports versus anything else that football of all sports, man, of all sports, you're going to succumb to this crap?
22 people on the field, a ball that doesn't bounce straight. And not to mention a quarterback who defies every freaking prototype of the position that there's ever been.
Or just all the variances of toughness and injury.
Yes,
and
yes.
Like, it's just, it's not the sport for it.
Mike, sports in general have too many variables like toughness and compete and confidence and all that stuff. How do you measure that?
The nerd doesn't think it exists. The nerd doesn't believe in clutch and late. And it's insane. Bob in Gloucester. Go ahead, Bob.
Hey, Tony, don't you realize when Roger or Mickey were going for that 61 and 61 that the center field was 461 and Death Valley was 457? So those 440 and 450 fly balls were outs for them and Yogi and wow. Teddy ball game when he was there. But you got to pick on Roger for his right field home runs. And you sound like a Red Sox nitwit fan.
Yeah, well, yeah, that part is true.
No, that's true. I didn't consider that when I came up with the take. It was my part.
My least favorite part of that whole take is that you're encouraging now the Red Sox baby to say, it's not a real home run record. Yeah, it's like John in Connecticut. John, go ahead on Aaron Judge.
Oh, yes, I'm going to whine about Judge. Hey, as long as they don't go down the road that he's a legitimate home run leader over Bonds and stuff, I'm fine with giving him his due. But you guys were saying, oh, well, at least he's not, on steroids. Well, you don't know if he's on steroids, but he's not on the kind of steroids that Bonds were. But, medicine hasn't gone backwards, guys. I mean, we have no idea if he's on stuff.
Oh, definitely. I've said that a million times. I'm like the HGH, they still don't even really have a good test for.
Okay, so again, I'm against that guy because he is a whiny little bitchy Red Sox fan.
Take that, John.
Okay, so like that wasn't my motivation for it. I'm just telling you, until it was mentioned, all I said was until it was mentioned, it didn't occur to me they all played in the same ballpark. And they all played, two of them were left-handed until Judge. So I give Judge some nod, again, because he's right-handed. So there is a variable there with him that I have to account for. I still think right field is a joke in New York. But if you tell me, yeah, we put down the overlays, Maz, and they're legit. Okay, if you tell me that, fine, no problem. Then we're all good.
So Kevin Maggiore here had a Twitter account called Would It Dong? And they do this as well. So the
would it dong or wouldn't?
Would it dong? Oh. Question mark. So, would, W-U, would. Would it dong?
Got it.
Question mark. Which is addresses this very thing.
Got it.
If you dong in Coors Field, would it dong at Miller Park? Yes. That sort of thing. So would it dong lists two Aaron Judge home runs as Yankee Stadium only home runs hit to right field. So we had a caller who said other analysts with the overlays said zero. Would it dong has two.
That would put him at 60.
Yes, very good. Velger and Maz Math. We got that one right. Here's Murray's update. We're back with more of your calls. Don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Popular afternoon radio show in Boston.
I don't want to know what this means.
Velger and Maz.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do know what you're talking about.
I don't even know what I'm talking about. Like, what? I don't know what that is. 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
I had a GM tell me that it used to be, and I mentioned this, I think, in Playmakers, and I think we've talked about it before, but it's an important point. It used to be the coach could just go in there and bamboozle the owner with jargon. Not anymore. Because the owner's got the analytics person there who can cut through the crap, and the owner is asking incisive, tough questions of the coach, and the owners are no longer blown away by all the football jargon, and they keep their mouths shut lest they come off as stupid. That doesn't happen anymore, and it makes it harder for the coach.
Owner now has the data. There's the nerd sitting next to him.
That really is scary, though. Because, again, if John Harbaugh wants to say, well, I don't like the matchup of our defense against their offense, and then the owner says, well, what are you talking about? I got the numbers right here. He has no idea, like, the left tackle versus the right defensive end,
right,
or the strength of the left corner, or whether the safety cheats on a play or not. He doesn't know any of that. That is terrifying.
And
brutal.
Put up with some pushy nerd in there. Don't you try to backtalk me. I've got the numbers right here that back up what I'm talking about. Steve Boss, that's so annoying. For like a hardcore football guy, you got to be like, oh, God, why am I even here?
Because all the numbers really do is give you some broad you know, metric of what the machine says. Like, that is, Mike, it can't be emphasized enough. It's scary.
And these guys are highly paid. You know, Florio said there, the owner's got the head of the analytics making six figures at least. And, well, he's got to justify it. And we know this because John Henry actually told us during that one interview in the middle of the year where he said there's an arms race going on with analysts and you wouldn't believe what I'm paying these guys, right? Or something along those lines.
Yeah, right. We're paying our analysts a lot of money or something like that.
Remember that? So, oh, no. I mean, so, we've accepted that or we understand it's taken over baseball. Now they've come for football and they've taken over football, too. Oh, it's just brutal. Joe in Connecticut, your thoughts on this? I said Joe in Connecticut. Okay, you can call us back. You know the number. Paul in Andover. You got the zappy
feet? Paul in Andover.
Paul.
Yes, it's Paul in Andover.
Hi, Paul in Andover. Okay, you got the zappy fever, Paul?
Oh, yeah. It looks like he can play a little, and he might stick around for a couple of years. Zoe should start getting nervous, because Zappy's initials are BZ.
Ooh.
I don't even get it. I don't do jokes. I don't even get what that means.
WBZ, I guess.
Ronnie in the car on Judge's home run record. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Game's on four.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
It's okay, Ronnie. What do you got?
Give me 1 minute.
I'm not getting No. You don't call us up on a live radio show and say, give me a minute.
Yeah. No, he means the whole minute.
Oh, I see. Okay, Ronnie.
I mistook it too. Like, yeah, hold on. I gotta blow my nose.
Ronnie, go ahead.
I've been listening for 12 years, so give me 40 seconds. My son is 8. He just started playing baseball in April. He got so into it, and with the whole Judge thing and everything, we ordered the MLB Network, and that's important to keep the game going and keep kids involved. None of his friends like it out of 30 kids. They like basketball, Steph Curry. He likes baseball, and I do too, you know?
Hey, so, Ronnie. Ronnie, the Aaron Judge thing was good for baseball.
No question.
Good for baseball. And I don't know how many casual fans it attracted or if it was just for the hardcores or whatever, but that was a good story. It was good visuals. It's a team that matters. It's important. Like, the whole thing. It was good for baseball.
I hope they bring him here.
How realistic is that?
Yeah, Mess. Thank you.
Well, so Vegas had it at, what, 10%?
10. Like,
yeah, which is probably 8% too high.
I was just going to say 2.
Okay, but I will say this. They need to do something big. They need to do, and I would say at a minimum, like major moves to improve the team, as well as the show business element of it, the entertainment value of it. Judge would be a huge get.
Patrick and Beverly, what do you got on Bailey Zappi?
Hey, so if he plays good all 4 quarters this weekend, does he build any sort of significant value, like for next year or this year to get him anything? I don't even know if he could trade away a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, sure he could. And I think, yes, I'd rather keep him. I mean, if I'm the Patriots, I'd rather have a good young backup who can push my starter and just continue to build value. But, like, I mean, when you say trade value, like, what are you expecting?
Two firsts, two thirds.
I was going to say, like, you know, would someone replace the fourth round pick that you used on him? Yes. If he shows he can do something, yes. You want anything more than that? He's going to have to win games, multiple games. But either way, unless it's a... This is what Murray's talking about. I'm keeping him.
So as the guy said it, could he become Gardner Minshew?
Yeah, I guess.
Minshew's small.
Yeah. Oh, is he that small?
He's like 6'1". He's listed as 6'1".
Okay, I didn't realize.
So I think it's similar body type. I don't know if he's as athletic as Minshew. I need to see him move around. Minshew can run around, and he seems to have a knack. So, like, I don't know. Like, as he said it, like, that, there's a goal.
And the Jaguars traded Minshew to the Eagles for a conditional 6th-round pick.
Yeah, so this is like, Will in the car, what do you got on analytics?
Hey, guys, I think you're being a little too hard on Harbaugh in some ways. I think analytics have been around a lot longer. We just didn't call it that. Because wasn't Ernie Adams the guy in the headset for Belichick talking about tendencies and percentages for years?
Not like this.
I mean, I think the problem is the structure. It's the fact that the owners are listening to the analytics guys and not just the coaches.
Yeah.
And they're taking away the gut feeling.
So I think Ernie was definitely numbers, and he was good on the clock and things like that. But Ernie, it's not like these modern guys that are just taking a step far and trying to think outside the box. Like the Baltimore thing was complete modern analytics. Bill never did that. He went for it on 4th and 2 in Indianapolis because his defense stunk, and he knew that if he gave the ball back to Peyton Manning, it didn't matter if he gave it to him at his 29 or their 29. He was done. So I might as well maintain possession of the ball. Ernie wasn't up there running the numbers. Bill just made the call in real time on the feel of the game. And he was wrong, but that wasn't a number-based thing. That was a feel-based thing.
Yeah, and I think Ernie was really perceptive, too, with actual things that were happening on the field. Like, he studied it, right?
Well, and let's, you know, you're missing a whole key part of Ernie's thing, too.
The cheating?
He was the black ops. So, you know, whether it was radio signals, headsets, whatever, the opponent's tape, all the crap they were doing, Ernie was that.
The cheating.
Yeah. Yeah, put another way. The cheating. That's right. He wasn't, Bill, your win probability, the scourge, one of the scourges of modern sports is this win probability stat, you know, that I think all the kids now look at. You know, what's the score? It's 27-13 in the fourth quarter with 8 minutes left. Well, the win probability is now 92%. Go F yourself. F you. Don't watch the game then. God, I hate that win probability thing.
It's featured prominently when you click on any score on ESPN.
Oh, I hate it. How do you know, nerd? You have no idea. Play the game. The win probability. So now it's like all come down to win probability. What's the win probability? Go F yourself. Get out of my face. Leave the room.
Does it go up or down depending on who the quarterback is?
I don't know.
Or is it just based on the score and the time left?
Now it's all win probability. Ugh. Brutal. All right, we'll reset Bill today on his quarterback situation. The ice breaking with Bill at the podium continues, but that's not the story. The story is what do we glean today from what we saw out at practice and who was available and who wasn't. The very latest comes your way next in our long commercial-free segment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
What kind of hard-hitting analysis can you expect from Felger and Mass this football season?
It's going to be a stupid off.
Felger and Mass, 95, the Sports Hub.
Bill, any update on your quarterback situation? Will Bailey be a starter this Sunday?
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Just take it day to day. Just going to use that once a day.
Yeah. Thank you.
Any update on Mac and how he's feeling?
Yeah, we'll have the injury report for you. Yeah, can't wait to get it out.
I
just want to make sure it's accurate, so see where things are, you know, in practice.
Is Brian being cleared to practice today?
Yeah, with that injury report, can't wait to get that to you. We'll have all the details there, see where everybody is.
You did say last week that Mac was making, making good progress. Do you still feel that that's the case here this last 5-6 days?
Sure, yeah, he's definitely made progress.
If Bailey is the starter this week, how beneficial will it be to have the whole week for preparation for him?
Well, he had the whole week of preparation last week. In terms of preparation snaps, and I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I don't know.
Going inside. Sorry, were you done? I'm sorry.
But, yeah.
Sorry, I might have jumped the count there. Okay.
No, I didn't, you know. I'm glad you did. That's going to go into great depth about the quarterback situation, but since you've got another question about the, practice location, let's go to that.
So Bill thawing at the podium again. Good for him. Small little sidebar. Just make it easy on yourself. Just act like a human up there. It's okay. You still don't have to give any information, which he didn't, but, you know. Can't wait to get out that injury report too. You want to make sure it's right. So we're just gonna have to wait and see till after practice and get you all the details. We'd love to keep talking about the quarterback thing, but okay, let's move on. So that he gave you nothing there, but what happened at practice? Hoyer was not even out there. They did a walkthrough ish. I mean, they were in shorts and shells, so they think it was a walkthrough. They did it inside, not outside. It's crappy out, and they just coming off a long overtime game, so add that all up. Maybe they're going, you know, into this week a little easy. But they were inside in shorts. Hoyer was not even there for that. Okay, so it tells you he has not been cleared. Mac Jones was out there and by all accounts looked better, improved. Zoe said he looked much better. Zappi was out there, obviously, as was this Gilbert guy who they just signed this week. But
yeah, Zappi.
It just sort of points to Jones still hobbled, and it does point to Zappi. And so there's people out there who for some reason have Zappi fever. And they're looking forward to seeing this. I think it's a loss. I'm not predicting a loss. What I'm saying is...
Expecting a loss?
No. What I'm saying is the fact that they have to go with Zappi is a loss for them versus obviously Jones and I would say Hoyer.
Yes.
I'd say they'd be in much better shape. I think they'll win the game either way, okay? But I think they would have had a better chance with Hoyer and obviously a better chance with Jones.
How about the records as a starter? Just this. This is one of the reasons I have the fever. Hoyer, last 11 starts... 0 for 11. Zappi, 0 and 0. What's better? It's Zappi.
It's 0 for 11. I don't know if Zappi can play. And I think they have to dumb down the offense for him and all of that. I think Hoyer, you can run most of what you run with Mac Jones, and they'd be better off with Brian Hoyer. And I'm of the mind...
Until you get to the red zone.
Okay. I'm of the mind that I'm not here to experiment, see what we got. You know, I don't have this approach that, well, we're not winning anything this year anyway, so let's see what we got with the kid. No, that's not, no.
But you trust the coaches. Shouldn't be you trust the coaches to, or Belichick to coach this kid up? And again, he's down on one knee when Zappi's up the sitting down.
There's
on the
only
sideline.
So much you can do, and I don't believe in the coaches like I used to, Murray. Nice try.
I bet you what this is why they're inside, is because of Zappi.
They don't want the people seeing what they got.
No.
Right.
No.
100% right.
No. Yep. You want him in a controlled environment where the ball's not slipping out of his hands and his confidence is getting affected. He's got to learn the plays. Like, let's keep it in a controlled environment.
The fever's so rampant, you need to keep it contained under one roof.
Meanwhile, on Mac Jones, let's just do this again. Let's play Zoe watching the video. So we have video here at NBC Sports Boston from practice today. We'll roll that video. When Zoe saw this video during Zolak and Bertrand today, he said, whoa, Mac Jones is well ahead of where he was last week. He was kind of impressed. Here's Zoe from earlier in the day.
Mac Jones is getting better. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the reason I say that, we go back to last week, last Friday. He's basically standing on one foot behind a net, sort of all his weight on that one foot and trying not to put any pressure on it left and lightly sort of tossing the ball over top the net. And had the look of practice, you know, suited up and taped up. He's bouncing on the toes here on both feet. Now, I don't think he's moving around a ton, but this is a lot better than a week ago. It gives you now, I think, the luxury with who the opponent is and who's on the horizon. Make sure number 10's healed. Get him right. Like, let's not shoot it up and push the kid to go. If he's making this much a jump, and Ted, you saw his face, and I'm with you after the game, I thought, done for the year. Like, yeah. This is a bad one.
Yep.
Just based on, because I think he's tough, like, from what I saw last year. And I had the same injury. The injury sucks. It feels like you broke your ankle. So I thought maybe he thought his year was over, and then he got better news on it. He's doing the light toss drills right now where he's actually doing a little bit of a drop back on both feet. Springing forward off the back foot, sliding up, and throwing the ball. That's a good sign. This is not stationary where let's tape him up and just show him to the TV and then we'll get him the hell out of here. I think that's what they did last week.
Okay, so Zoe was impressed. Most people who saw him today said he looked much better. To the point where Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, let's just play this. Jimmy, Ian Rappaport, NFL Network, said there's a chance. Here's Rapp just last hour.
Mac Jones is out of practice today. I know Mac Jones is going to try to push to play. I know he believes he can play this Sunday. We'll see if he's able to. And, you know, there was definitely a time last week, late in the week, when he thought he'd be able to play too. Did not end up participating in practice, was not able to play. If he's listed as limited today, I would say at least that means he's got a shot of being out there on Sunday. He is the Patriots starter. You know he was dying out there when Bailey Zappa was going toe-to-toe with Aaron Rodgers. If it is humanly possible for Mac Jones to be out on the field, he will be out there this week. But the fact that he's out there today, probably a good sign.
Okay, so it's a possibility for this week. I believe the team wants him back sooner than later, and I think he wants to be back sooner rather than later. What he didn't want was the surgery. I think that's becoming clear, or has become clear. Murray, just to reset for all of you, got the Zappy fever for Pete's sake.
I don't know. I have to roll your eyes.
Mac Jones at 75% or Zappy at 100%?
Zappy at 100.
Jesus. Stu?
Zappy at 100.
You guys are just, you're being silly now.
No, because I don't really like Mac Jones anyway. And he's going to get hurt again behind that sucker offensive line. So you go with the guy who's built like a fire hydrant who can take a hit like that. I got the fever. So does Jimmy.
Jones.
Jones.
And Hoyer.
Okay. Yeah. All of that is your lead.
There's a reason the kid was the third string quarterback.
That's your lead Patriots item at this hour. We'll get into all things Patriots with a high-ranking member of the organization. Thank God we got someone here to answer for all of this and give us further insight and tell us what's what. Paul Perillo next after the update. 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.